Part of what we do at RUF is that we read, we sing, we pray, and we read the Bible because we believe that God is speaking to us in it. What we've been doing this semester is we've been looking in the Gospel of John, which is this eyewitness account of Jesus's life. And we've been asking the question, who is Jesus? And letting Jesus answer that question with all these statements, these what are called I am statements. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. And tonight in our passage, the way that Jesus introduces himself or answers the question, who is Jesus, reminds me of the one time in my children's life that I have shaved this luxurious beard off. And how old were they, do you think? This has been some years ago now. This has been like 8 years, at least 8 years ago. And so my spouse, I have facial hair because, and I quote, doesn't like my face down here, and or at least at minimum prefers that it's covered up with hair. Is that fair? That's fair. Okay, all right, good. Hey, you know, whatever it takes. She consents to live with me and has for 15 years, and I'm very happy with that. So anyway, so but one time, you know, sometimes you just kind of, if you have facial hair, you kind of get the itch, like it's time for a fresh start. And I didn't want to wait until like late in my children's lives and really traumatize them. I wanted to do it when they were young, traumatize them when they were young, so they would remember. And it would be a core embedded body memory and trauma instead of a, anyway. So I shaved my beard while they were sleeping. They were like, they were probably 5, 3, and 1, something like that. And I was very nervous about them seeing me in the house in the morning and having no context for what was going on, and nor who I was. And so they, as they came downstairs in the morning, I went into the basement, and I stood behind the basement door, and Sarah Jane got them near the basement door, and I said, "Can everyone hear my voice?" And they're like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Who is it?" And they're like, "It's Daddy." I was like, "That's right. So no matter what you see when I open this door, you have no idea what you're in for. Clearly, your mother is not a big fan. But no matter what lies ahead, just know that like it's going to be okay, and I'm with you." And then they all screamed and cried. the way that Jesus introduces himself to us tonight is kind of similar. It's people that are about to go through something very, very intense, and these are words of comfort. So here's what we're going to do. Often we come to RUF, I will teach you or preach a sermon. And I think that's really important. It's very valid and valuable. Something I love to do, and I think it's really beneficial. What we're going to do tonight is we're simply just going to spend some time in the passage together. And part of the reason why we do that is if you grew up in like a Christian tradition, you probably heard like the Bible is really important. You would heard things like the Bible is inspired by God. It's breathed out by God. It's living and active and all those things. But then there are these subtle ways that we use the Bible where we're like, yeah, the Bible's living and active. And it basically, nothing happens unless I like interpret it or someone teaches it to me. Sometimes we treat the Bible like it is like an inert gas and I have to bring like the spark to it or else it won't do anything. And so what I want to do tonight is take a little bit of a break from me teaching this with you and simply see if we can just spend some time in this story together and invite God to show up to us in it. Also, being the center of your own story is exhausting. Everybody in this room understands that because all of us imagine ourselves as the center of our own story. Inside of us, there's only us. There's not anyone else, right? And so constantly thinking about what things mean to us or how we feel about them can be very exhausting. And part of what God offers to us in the Bible is a way to take a break from being the center of the story and to enter a story that's about other people and about God. And then to, by experiencing that, of course, derive benefit from it. But anyway, so I'm going to take a minute to pray, and then we're just going to walk through some passages, and I'm going to invite you guys to, listen to God? Is that okay? Like, that's another one of those questions like I asked Caroline. Is it okay? Yeah, sure. You can't say no. What are you going to do? Say no. You could leave. That's your welcome to. I'm going to be looking down. So let's pray. And as we pray, I wanted to invite you to allow yourself to settle. Take a breath. You're actually going to be sitting for a little while, often with your eyes closed. And so if you fall asleep, that's great. It would be a beautiful thing if what happened is you just fell asleep at RUF for 15 minutes. Father, Son, Spirit, you have made everything. You have made matter. You have made energy. You have made this universe that, Lord, we can't even find where the center of it is because we're so small in it. You made all that. And, Lord, you made each of us. Lord, we thank you. We acknowledge that we are sitting on solid ground and that we are held up by it. And as real as that feels to us, whether we're sitting on the floor or on a chair, we feel that we are supported, that we are not going to fall. And Lord, just as real as this ground holding us, you hold us together. Lord, you know each of my sisters and brothers here in this room intimately. You know each of us more than we will ever know ourselves. And Lord, you are not distant and far off, but as we'll read in this story, you come really close to us. Lord Jesus, you've actually become one of us and lived in this world and experienced its joys and its pains. And so, Lord, we pray that you would come to us now by your Spirit, whether we know you or don't, whether we're sure of you or we're not. Would you come, Lord, and speak to us and give us a sense of your presence through your word? Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I invite you to keep your eyes closed. You can lay back if you want to, lean on your neighbor if they're cool with that. I want to spend some time walking through the bit up to our passage. So this is in John chapter 12. You don't need to turn there, just listen. Last week, in case you weren't here, we heard the story about Jesus. The religious leaders in Jerusalem wanted to kill him because he had made himself equal with God and said that he had come from God and said that he and God the Father were one. And so they understood him to be a heretic and were going to put him to death. And so he fled away, but then he heard that his friend Lazarus was sick and he came back near Jerusalem, where he would surely be found and killed because he loved his friend Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And he raised Lazarus from the dead, even though he'd been dead for 4 days. And a little while after that, Jesus is in the home of Lazarus, who was dead and is now alive. And he's with Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha. And Mary comes to Jesus' feet, and she takes this really expensive perfume, and she breaks the jar, and she puts it all over his feet. It's worth like the equivalent of thousands of dollars. And she rubs this beautiful, sweet-smelling perfume all over his feet, and she wipes them with her hair. And she's touching God. And I don't even know whether she really understood that. And she anoints him. And there comes a day where they are, all the Jewish folks are going to celebrate the Passover, which was this holiday from how God had saved his people from Egypt and passed over them, passed over their little ones, and saved their lives. And so everyone has to come to Jerusalem. So Jesus comes into Jerusalem with them, and he rides in on a donkey. And everyone says he's the king. And they lay down palm branches, and they say, "You're the king." And he rides in. And they decide, the religious leaders decide really to kill him at that point. And then on the night of the Passover, Jesus, this is where we're coming to our passage. Jesus is up in this room with his closest friends. And they're going to celebrate this beautiful meal. So imagine that it's in the upstairs room in Jerusalem. There's a low table on the floor. Everyone's sitting around it on the ground. And they have the unleavened bread, and they got the bitter herbs, and they got all the things they need for the Passover. And they're sitting there with one who they've just called the King of Israel. One who Mary had just anointed his feet with her perfume days before. And this one who made everything, who made them, who was at this moment holding together everything, all of the particles and molecules of the universe, has become a human being. And this is what John writes. "Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now, Simon really gets it. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, do you wash my feet?' Because the idea that a teacher or a master would wash someone's feet, this is for the lowliest servant. The servant that people don't even know their name, don't even acknowledge them. The person that is the least, the weakest, the most poor, the most insignificant, the least powerful. That's what Jesus did, this king. And so Simon says, 'Do you wash my feet?' And Jesus answered him, 'What I'm doing you don't understand now, but afterward you will understand.' And Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I don't wash you, you have no share with me. If you're not going to let me wash you, then this is not going to work.' And Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. If you're going to wash the whole thing.' And Jesus said, 'No, you don't need that. Just your feet.' So after that, when Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer garments, he took his place back at that low table in that dim room, and he said to them, 'Do you understand what I've done to you? You call me Rabbi and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. His friend Judas had already decided to betray him, and Jesus sends him on his way. And then Jesus says to his friends, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come." And then he tells them, he's saying he's going to leave them. He's going to go to a place they can't come. They have no idea what he's talking about. They know that he's in danger, that he has moved into a place of certain death to love Lazarus, and that they were going to catch him. But they have no idea what he's saying when he says, "Well, I'm going to go somewhere." And then he tells them, look, he's the king, so he gives the decrees. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." Then Peter wants to know where he's going. He's very eager. And Jesus says, you can't follow me now, but you'll come afterward. And Peter says, "I'll die for you." And Jesus says, "Actually, you're going to pretend you don't know me in a couple of hours." And now we've arrived at this passage, and we're going to read it a few times, and we're going to invite God in to speak to us. This first time as I read this passage, I want you just to simply put your hands in your lap in the posture of receiving a gift. You're not trying to understand this passage, nor are you trying to make sense of it or to apply it to your life. You are actually being invited to do nothing. This is a way of embracing that God is the one who takes activity, and we are the ones that receive. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? How can we know the path? What road are we supposed to take?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would also know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." We're going to take a moment to be quiet together. Lord Jesus, you are the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through you. this time as I read the passage, I want to invite you to allow something to catch your attention, a word or a phrase. It's nothing to try to make happen, so if nothing catches your attention, that's great. It's nothing to try to understand. In fact, try not to understand. So you're simply receiving something from God. Even if you think this is, like, weird, risk that weirdness. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. I'll take a moment in silence to dwell with that and with anything that has caught your attention. This time as we read through, I want to invite you to ask God, Lord, what are you showing me about you? Ask God, what are you showing me in this about yourself? If there was something that had grabbed your attention, holding that as a gift before God, as we hear again. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Lord, what are you showing us about yourself? What are you inviting us to see, to believe, to know, to trust? Lord Jesus, you are the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this story, which really happened. You were really with these people, really laying your hands on their dirty feet to wash them, really offering yourself to them. And Lord, we thank you that we still have this story. Lord Jesus, you are the way. You are the path to God. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you invite us to come to you that we might be with God and be on the way to you. Lord, we hear no one comes to the Father except through you, and that makes us bristle. And yet also, Lord, there's this beautiful invitation that God is not hiding. And Lord Jesus, you are the truth. And we thank you that you're the truth. You're not just showing us about God or teaching us about God. You are God. You are the I am. Lord Jesus, as you say here, anyone who has seen you has seen God. And we want to see you and to know you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've come to us and not forced us to come to you and find our way to you. And Lord Jesus, we praise you that you are the life. You let your friend Judas go to betray you. You let a young woman anoint your feet and to lay her hands on you in love. You laid your hands on the filthy feet of your friends who had no idea what you were doing. And most importantly, you gave up your life so that we might live. And you've left us with this commandment, to love one another as you have loved us. Lord, we thank you for this word. Your word does not come back empty, but always does what you intend it to do. And so, Lord, we thank you that we have been able to spend this time with your word, which is real and active. And Lord, for some of us, we have been left with something to take that feels very resonant. With others of us, we have just had opportunity for rest and silence. And yet, Lord, we know that your word falls like a seed into the soil of our heart. So we pray, Lord, that for each of us that you would grow it in due time. So, Lord, we don't leave your word now, but we take it with us. Lord Jesus, you are the way and the truth and the life. Go with us from this place. We pray, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. Okay, we're going to stand and sing one song together.